trying to get this in my pocket and I broke it. I need help. I need a man that will touch my butt. I don't know what to do. If you just put it back together. I was going to pray, but we'll have to do that later. Sorry. You don't know what I did either, do you? I am talented. That is all I'm going to say. Well, you know what? While he's putting that together, the song that we sang earlier, the I'm a Woman of God, that was actually an identity declaration. Oh, I'll put it in. It's okay. It's okay. Vicky will have my hide and yours. We getting extra chores and all sorts of stuff. Beth Moore actually put that together, the identity declaration, and she has done it at several of her conferences, and I think I heard that she even did it at Women of Faith. And we made a little phone call, and they said that as long as we kept it the way that they had it on their website, that we could reproduce it. So this comes from Living Proof Ministries. It's written by Beth Moore, and there are going to be ladies at the exit when you guys leave. So if you would like an extra one, maybe to take to a coworker, a daughter, anything like that. I know I have a big one hung up in my girls' bathroom, so when they're getting ready in the morning, they see this. So we're going to have some extra ones there for you. But now that I'm all put together, why don't we start the night, before I talk, with some prayer. Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the hands that made the food that everyone was able to enjoy and the drinks that we were able to have. We thank you for the fellowship. We thank you for hopefully new friends that have been able to be made and conversations that have been able to be had. And I pray, Lord, that all of those conversations are pleasing to you and they're uplifting to one another. And I pray right now that the words that I speak will only be words that come from you, from your Holy Spirit that's speaking through me, just nothing else, and that would be only your name that is glorified, and you're the only one that can change lives. And so we just ask and invite your Holy Spirit to just start right now piercing the hearts of each lady here. Well, I think that you've probably figured out that tonight is about weddings and wedding days. And I think all of you can remember and you can relate to the times in your life when you were little girls and you would play dress up and you would dig into your dress up box and you would find the prettiest and the poofiest dresses and you would put those on. And even you would get into your mom and dad's, not dad's hopefully, your mom's. That's a whole new, I think that's a new show on Lifetime or something like that. Sorry. David with his Bruce Jenner thing just threw me off a couple of weeks ago. But mom's makeup and do her makeup, maybe even curlers, do your hair. You'll see the next one. The next slide is Georgia put, nope. Well, we missing, we got, do we have Georgia putting her own rollers in her own hair? Oh, no. Well, that's a sight to be seen. But the girls would always go to Grammy's house and get their hair curled, and then they play. And then the next one is them. Of course, they would have to both be the brides when they played. But I know some of you had brothers, and you probably made them be the groom, right? And do whatever you wanted them to do. This next picture that I'm going to show you is an introduction. This is my mom and dad's wedding announcement, their engagement. And this is mine and David's, and the newspaper spelled my name wrong. It's Tracy with an I, just in case you want to send me something. Anyway, and for those of you who are younger and you don't recognize what that is, it's a newspaper. We used to call this Facebook. This is our form of Facebook. Now we just can plaster it all over for free. And then the next picture I would just love to show you, this is my mom on her wedding day. And this is her dress over here, so you guys can take a look at it later. And then the next one is, I've had to show you, that's David and I on our wedding day. And my dress is there, and I fit in it. At one time. No, not now. At one time. could have like a little tent party, but I do not fit in it. But this, yes, this was my wedding day. And you know, as you've looked around and you've looked at all the pictures and the pictures out there and all the different beautiful dresses that you've seen, you're seeing everyone else's wedding day. But tonight what we're going to talk about is a wedding day that is far better, far more beautiful, far more spectacular. It is just more awesome, ostentatious than we can even imagine. And the wedding that I'm talking about is actually when Christ is forever united with his bride. We're going to go right into Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." See, here in this passage, this is what the bridegroom wants to do for us. This is his plan for us. He wants to make everything new. No death, no sorrow, no pain, no crying. And he's trustworthy and true. When is the last time that you had someone that you knew was trustworthy and true? It doesn't exist. There's no one that we can count on that is trustworthy and true. But here in this passage, this is what he's promising us. He's promising us that if you'll rely on me, you can trust me. I'm not going to let you down. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to deceive you. You can count on me, and I'll be there for you. I would like a show of hands of how many people would have liked that in their wedding vows. No, just saying. Give that whole submissive thing a whole new look on things, right? Yeah. But when Jesus died on the cross for us, if you think about it, really, that was the ultimate marriage proposal. He was proposing to take our sin away, our shame away, our regret, our sorrow. He was proposing to just kind of wipe it, not kind of, but completely wipe it all away. And this is really what this is. This is our spiritual wedding day. When we are finally united with Christ, and every promise that he's ever made to us is going to be fulfilled. Now, you get engaged, and I have to ask you, what bride just hopes for the best on their wedding day? There's not one. You're excited. You're involved. You plan to be married. I know I wasn't as involved in my wedding planning. I don't know if I just didn't care or if I was lazy. I just did not want an organ, and I did not want ferns. I think that was my two biggest things. My mom thought I was going to be a bridezilla. I really just hated ferns. So, anyway, but when a girl gets engaged, she starts all those plans. You can getting out all those bridal magazines, and you join a gym or an exercise program because you want to look all physically fit and be all nice for your husband on your wedding night, especially if you're going to go somewhere like Mexico for your honeymoon. You want to look good in your bathing suit. You've got invitations to go out. You want to invite everybody, and you've got flowers, which there's plenty of that here. You've got dresses. You've got shoes. I mean, you've got everything that you are purchasing and getting ready for the real big day, this one moment that you have dreamed of, probably since you knew that it was an option for you that you could have. Even in the preschool, we have these little girls going up to the boys going, "You're going to marry me today." Okay? And that's Jamie and Jessica have to pull them aside and have a whole conversation. That's another thing. But we fast forward now. You have your wedding day. You're excited. You got what you wanted. You got the groom. We fast forward now to years with our husband. And our husband, who we were so excited about marrying, he gives us those sweet whispers in our ear. And then we say, I haven't shaved my legs yet. I have a headache. I'm a little constipated. Or I have cramps. It's that time of the month. I thought it was that time of the month last week. Well, that was my pre-cramping time or something like that. But you know what I mean. But we get lazy. And it's probably safe to say at times, not saying always, that we've lost our passion. And there are stages when everything is mechanical and it's taken for granted. Can you identify with that even when it comes to your relationship with Christ? If you were to, and if you want to, you can do it. If you want to close your eyes and remember that time when you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, do you remember how excited you were? You were so excited to dig into the Word and learn about God and what He had for you. Your heart completely fluttered with anticipation to come to church and to sing and worship with other believers. I mean, that was something that just, it lit you on fire all week. And then you love those times where you quietly prayed with God. But what happened? You used to want to tell your friends about the big decisions that you made, so maybe they could change their lives and they could find Christ and have Him in their lives. How many people are you telling now? How many days do you open up your Bible and spend time in the Word? I think a lot of times we can safe to say that we pretty much get into this rut and it all becomes routine and we the whole thing kind of lacks its luster. We would rather sleep than get up and go to church, or we'd rather blame our children's sporting events or what have you. We don't read our Bibles anymore because we're at church, we hear it then, and you know, it's going to last the whole week. And we hear the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts, and it's sad, but it's true because I've been there, and we totally dismiss it. We know that He's telling us to change. We know that He is bringing people into our lives to remind us that He's telling us to change. But we just say to ourselves, it's too hard. It's easier just to be lazy, be overweight, holler at our kids. It's easy to do all those things. And so it comes down to the fact that once you are ready and willing to change any part of your life, when the Holy Spirit touched your heart, now you're not. But when it came to that, I'm going to go ahead and read Revelations 2:2-5. And this is where God talks to us specifically about that. He says, I know your deeds. I know your work, hard work, and I know your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but aren't, and you have found them false. You have persevered. You have endured hardships for my name, and you have, this is interesting here, you have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. You have forsaken the love you had first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you first did. I guess my question really tonight is, what happened to us? What happened to me? What happened to you? Sometimes it's the result of a big event. But for the most part, it's the simple things. It's the simple things that we start forgetting to do that causes the biggest problems, and I think most of you can attest to that. It doesn't really take much to sit alone for 5 minutes and just say, God, speak to me. Even if it's reading one verse and just meditating on that and saying, Holy Spirit, just come down on me. And take that time to be alone with Him and to breathe. It doesn't take a whole lot to be driving in your car and singing at the top of your lungs, going to and from soccer practice. I mean, your kids are already in the car probably, and they know you're crazy, so you're just kind of solidifying it all, and you're singing to them. But how much further would that get you if you were praising God with the kids in the car, dropping them off to soccer practice, praising them the whole way back? I think you could get through dinner a whole lot easier. But we make it so complicated, and it doesn't have to be complicated. This thing called church and religion or relationship with Christ or asking Jesus to be our Savior or realizing that if you are a child of God, you're the bride of Christ. This is easy, but we make it hard. We put the expectations on ourselves. And so this is where we have to say, I can do this. I can make it simple. I can worship in my car. I can spend 5 minutes in meditation and pray. I mean, we have Bible apps. I bet, how many of you did not have a Bible app when you were in your 20s and 30s? I didn't have a cell phone, so I know I didn't have an app. I mean, but our younger generation, they've got the Bible on their phone. They're on their phone all the time. There's no excuse for it. And there's no rules to it. You don't have to start at a certain place and finish at a certain place. All you have to do is open up the Word and say, okay, God, speak to me. And I want to use this as just a real quick teaching moment for you if you don't know how to read the Bible. Because a lot of people just, it's overwhelming to have this big book. But if you turn to the back of that big book and you find the concordance, is what it's called. So we'll just say kind of an index. And let's say you're struggling with lying. And you turn to lying, it's going to tell you all these different verses that you can look up and you can read. So the Bible is even set up in a way that is easy and is attainable for you guys. The neat thing is that even though that happens, we can look at every day as new because our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, He deserves the best from us every single day. The Bible says His mercies are new and renewed every single day. So our passion for Christ is new every day. He's not a diet. It's not something you start on Monday. If you screw up on Monday, you start again Monday night. You don't wait till the next day. But if you need to go the next day, you need to realize that His mercies are new every day. And they're there for you and they're attainable, and that's truth. He doesn't hold all of our sins against us. I have to come back here to talk about this. But He doesn't hold our sins against us. And I think that I asked a bunch of ladies what their sins were. And you got a lot of different things, you know. So we've got gossip, and we've got sexual sin. We've got, you know, hollering at our kids. We're talking bad about our husbands. What's some other ones? Huh? Go ahead. What's some other ones that we all struggle with? Gossip. What else? Say it louder. Envy. What about eating? Women, overeating, anorexia. It's a big one. Gambling. Yeah. Shopping. Well, we're just spending way too much money. Just all the different things that stain us. I know that a lot of people think that sexual sin's a problem for men, but sexual sin's a problem for women too. And it just completely tarnishes the whole person. I talked about this a little bit in the workshops, but I was seeing Christian women putting on Facebook they were going to see 50 Shades of Grey. Sexual sin comes in all different shapes and forms, and it can be a lust of someone else's husband because, you know, the grass is greener on the other side and they like the way that wife is treated. But it can be as simple as sinning on your back porch. And as you can see, all of those stains and those blemishes are washed away because of the promise that we find in Isaiah 1:18, where he says, "Come now, let us settle the matter." How many times do you just feel like somebody would just lay it on straight with you? "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." Since we are loved like the bride, we need to live like the bride. Jesus deserves far better than an unpresentable and ill-prepared bride. If we are consistent and we are faithful in doing the simple things, we'll be so in tune to the Holy Spirit that when he whispers our name, we will hear him. And isn't that what you want? Do you want him to have to shake you? Get so in tune to the Holy Spirit that no matter what, you'll hear that whisper and you'll go, "Yes, Lord, I'm willing to surrender. I'm willing to stop being stubborn. I'm willing to change." If we daily read our bridegroom's love letters to us, we will never doubt his faithfulness. How many of you read your Bible every day? I think it's safe to say that there are days that we can all say that we don't do it, or maybe months that have gone by. If we spend each time and each day sharing with him our thoughts and our fears, he will never seem far away. If you want to know why God doesn't seem close to you, if you want to know why it seems like he's kind of disappeared from your life, it's because you're not talking to him. You're not connecting with him. He talks to you through the Bible, and you talk to him through prayer. And if you're always the one talking, how are you ever listening? And if we join with him and the rest of the bride, and we celebrate our groom like we're doing tonight, we will never ever feel alone. You have each other, and we have friendships, maybe friendships that you never thought you'd ever have. And you have people in your life to share hard times with and to celebrate good times with. And that's a blessing that God gives us. You shouldn't take that for granted. Each woman here and each woman in your life is here and hopefully is doing their job in enhancing your walk with Christ and not taking away from it. Our bridegroom deserves our best every single day, and that is what we have to embrace. We have to embrace that that's the truth. Anything short of that is unacceptable. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord our God is among the powerful. He will save and he will take joyful delight in you. In his love, he will renew you with his love. He will celebrate with singing because of you." Can you believe that? I cannot believe for even a second. That's just so hard to fathom that God is singing in celebration over me. That when I fail and I come back to him, the fact that he's rejoicing specifically over me, singing over me, singing over all of you. That's what he's doing because he loves you. And tonight, if nothing else, what I want to remind you of is what it feels like to be a bride. To remember that bridal day. And if you're not married yet, the excitement that you have right now of one day being able to plan that wedding. Relate that to your relationship with Christ. Get excited about Christ. Because He is the only way that you're going to have those good friendships. He's the only way that you're going to be that good mom. He's the only way that you're going to be that good wife, that you're going to have that success in your life, that you're going to have that hole that you're trying to fill with food or clothes or whatever. He is the only one that can fill that hole and make you feel new every day. And if he is willing to shed his blood on the cross for our sins, and he is promising us that he is going to make it new every day, then isn't that the least that we should do? The least that we should do is to give him the most beautiful, the best prepared bride every single day. Because of his love, you can literally wake up every morning saying, I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me the clothing of salvation, and he has draped me in a robe of righteousness. I, you, are like a bride with her jewels. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that we can be the bride. I thank you that you made a way into heaven. I thank you that you made a way to wash our sins. And God, I pray that if there's anybody here right now that is going, okay, that's great, but I don't really know if I'm a bride. I really don't know if I even fit the description of what you're talking about tonight. It sounds nice, but how do you do it? If you want to just really confirm that tonight, you can pray with me right now, and I'm not going to do anything scary like call you to the front or call your name or anything like that. This is a personal, private time. But if you want to confirm and make sure that Jesus is your Savior, that you are the bride of Christ, just pray with me now. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for wanting a relationship with me. I embrace that, Lord. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be the Savior over all of my decisions, all of my changes. I want to know your voice, and when your Holy Spirit speaks, I want to know. I want to be so in tune to it that I just hear those whispers in my ear, and they're so sweet. They're so endearing. I want that, Lord. I want that relationship with you. And for those of you who have just gotten lazy, we all do it, I just pray that you'll cry out right now, you know, God, I'm sorry. I let myself go. I did not stay in shape for my groom. And I want to be the best. I want to give him the best every day. I want to be spiritually fit every day for God my Father. And I want that fire. I want that passion. And I am going to push myself. I'm not going to expect others to bring it to me. I'm going to push myself, and I'm going to be so on fire for you, Lord. I'm going to wake up every morning just shouting out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, because he is my Redeemer. Amen.